got perspective, we got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
Hello and welcome to episode 243 of Geek Grills, the Geek Grills podcast supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda and I'm joined by my co-host Amber.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
So today's topic, we're doing a book club. Hooray! Ooh. Our quarterly book club. Yeah, that's right, quarterly. So, today we're discussing The Book Thief, and we'll get into that as soon as we get... Wow, my brain is not online yet. We'll get into that once we get through what we've been up to. Ember, you want to go first?
Sure. Let's see. Burlesque, the Big Mom Betty's last burlesque show, and... then Digital Noir afterward was lots of fun. Wedding planning still going on. Taking care of things like, the groom's family covers the rehearsal dinner. And there's like 65 people coming to the rehearsal dinner. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why so many? but trying to get all that dealt with and... I'm going to be traveling to Raleigh tomorrow to go through pictures with them for slideshow. And I found out lasagna is their favorite food, so I'm going to make a lasagna while I'm there and take them to pumpkin, like some decorations for the wedding I found at TJ Maxx. And what was the other? I don't know. Just. Lots of more planning stuff. Oh, taking our sound system there so that we have room to fit all of us in our car when we go to the wedding. There's so many things. They've asked me to do the hand fasting part. They're including in the ceremony a hand fasting. So that's another thing I'll need to talk to them about, how we're going to do that, what kind of knot they want, how many people are going to be included in that bit. So that's neat. Yesterday... my middle son got his license, his driver's license. North Carolina's weird. Cool. Like, I took him to do his road test, and the lady's like, well, do you want a waiver? He's like, I go out in the lobby to call my insurance company so they can fax over proof of insurance for him. And I come back, and he's got the waiver. And she's filled out a few. Like, okay, well, you got your permit on June, you know, this day, so you would write, I drove for this many hours at this time of day, and then, you know, your person you drove with would put their name here. And then you would do this line with, I drove this many hours at this time of night, and you would need 50 hours of daytime and 10 hours of nighttime driving. And then you don't have to do a road test. She's like literally wink, wink, nudge, nudging him. And so we just went in the other room and filled out this imaginary driving log and went back in and they issued him his license.
Like, okay.
What the hell? I mean, I knew they were doing this during the pandemic and I knew they were doing it with like young drivers that are getting permits and licenses this way. But, I mean, with younger drivers, I figured, well, parents are more likely to be making them actually do the driving. But he's 21, and it could have been anybody. So, yeah. Now, that explains a lot about the horrible drivers around here. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he drove himself to work for the first time today, which was pretty cool. Last night he ran to work just to, so he will have driven that route in particular. And he's texting me. He's like, driving is sick. I could just like go somewhere when I want. Well, no shit. I've been telling you this for how long? I've been driving his ass to work for years. Like, whatever. But it's exciting. It's finally done. And so for the meetup and all that stuff when we go away, we don't have to worry about how he's going to get to work. And he can take his damn brother to work. And we don't have to, like, leave wherever we are to go pick him up in the evenings anymore. Like, I might go out for a beer tonight just because I won't have to leave.
Freedom!
So, right? What have you been up to, Ray?
Not much. I did get together with my family, because at the end of last week was my mom's birthday, and then this weekend's my dad's birthday. Raised by two Virgos. So, we had a little get-together over at their place to celebrate, because mom turned 70. And it was nice. My husband even came, which is amazing, because he hardly ever comes up when I do my monthly visits. So that was really sweet, and they were really happy to see him and just spend some time together. We picked up some games for the PlayStation 4. I have been told that I can just borrow Persona 5 from one of my other friends, which is apparently the game that will suck my life away. we haven't actually hooked it up yet, so I guess that's probably next. And yeah, just caught up on all the on the nerdy shows, and that's it. How about you, Linda?
Well, we went over the weekend to go visit my cousin. He is living by himself now. It's not assisted living. It's not right. Subsidized. He has a disability, but he's able to live on his own. This is the first time I'd actually been over to his apartment. It's a cute little place. But it's like a one bedroom kind of place, and it's down in Stockbridge. I got mad at my aunt for a couple of things. I don't want to really get into it because I don't need to air my family's dirty laundry on the podcast, but woof. But my cousin's doing okay. You know, he's always kind of a ball of sunshine. Says a lot of random things that he doesn't mean, but it's endearing. I went to market day. It's all right. I'm thinking probably once it gets into be fall proper, you know, more people want to buy crochet things. I've been doing some crocheting this week to try and build my stock back up. So it was still a little thin after, you know, MomoCon and getting hurt. So I was just going to do plushies, but then as I was cleaning, you know, and organizing craft room, I actually found a bunch of projects that were, like, almost done. They were, like, 75 to 80% done, and I just finished them so I could take them with me. So I've got these two shawls. One is, like, this black with roses on it. One is just this kind of, like, maroon shawl. It's on the other side of the mannequin right now, but there's, like, a little wall hanging I've made. It's like a little heart, that's, like, you can just hang up. But then in the realm of, like, bags and plushies, I've made, you know, another mushroom bag. I've made a cupcake chocolate this time. I made a plushie cupcake. I think the colors are throwing me off. I mean, it kind of looks like a Lego head, but, you know, it's fine. It's a cupcake. It's whatever. This little owl I've made.
Aww. Looks and very also, surprised.
Yes, it didn't look that surprised in the book I'm making it out of. I don't know where it went. But, like, I can't explain it. I have this, like, book of tiny amigurumis. And I found the pattern. I was like, here, let me make that. That's cute. But in the actual book, he doesn't look so shocked. Like, he looks okay. And maybe it's just the color. It's the color of the eyes or something.
I think it might be. Because they're lighter.
Yeah, in the original, they're a nice, yellow. And I've made them pure white. And so he looks very shocked. And then I accidentally made a gigantic bumblebee. I didn't mean to make him this big.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
It's so cuddly.
All right.
Yeah, it's a very cuddly bumble. I meant to make him over large because I was using big yarn. But as I'm, like, crocheting out the rounds, I was like, oh, this is getting to be very quite large. Quite okay. Well, I'm halfway done now. Best keep going.
We're committed now.
I put work into this, so yeah, he turned out very, very cute.
Sure.
And so he's like the size of a small dog. And that's fine. So that's just a random assortment of things I have made this week. I was very productive, but only because most of them were half done.
You also taught me on Sunday how to do basic chaining and single crochet again, because it's been years.
It's been a while, It's been a while. All right. So, now we're going to get into book club.
What's happening?
So, okay. We have read The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, Zusak. It's a book that's set in just before and into World War II. And it's first narrated by Death.
Yes. Ruby initially? Because I'm glad. Glad.
I really like it. I think that's one of the most interesting things about the book. Like, I've read plenty of World War II setting stories, right? Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of common threads, but that being narrated by Death is very mm-hmm. interesting. And his style of writing being...
What's the word for it?
Where he's using colors
It's almost inhuman, like,
are anthropomorphized and stuff.
It's like slightly, I mean, and if you're thinking about it being from that perspective, it's slightly inhuman because it's from Death's perspective. So it's very interesting. It's very, I couldn't help the main character's name is Liesel. And all I can think of is The Sound of Music. Because that's the only other thing I've ever seen where they have a character named Liesel. So that girl who played Liesel is stuck in my head whenever I'm reading. whenever I'm picturing. But it's fine. Who says it wasn't what she looked like,
And once in a while, Death says something, like, quirky or, like, almost snarky or just like humans, like you just kill me sometimes. And I'm like, oh my God, it's almost like it verges on a Monty Python moment now and again where it's like, is this going to go sideways and get funny?
I mean, that would have been an interesting, way to do it.
And I was worried. I did watch the movie as well. And it's quite well done. And as I thought it might, it focuses very much on, because you could not put every detail of the book, obviously, but that they kept Death's narration in at least a little bit, like kind of just at the beginning and the end, because they could have completely wiped it out and just mm-hmm. made it Liesel's story and Max's story. But my husband actually stayed up, like, past his bedtime, was really engaged all the way through and watched the movie with me, which is unusual for him. Like, he will just fall asleep if he's got to. And so that was another little way for me to judge, because I read the book and watched the movie so close together. And that's hard. I'm really good at separating media as, like, I mean, it was fine, or, you know, they were both good, but they had necessary differences. But I was so close to it, because I was actually not quite done with the book when I watched the movie, and then I finished the book the next day anyway. Because I was just so engaged with the book and enamored of this guy's writing style. That I wanted to finish it. And there are very few things in the movie I did not like. Like, there was some... So there's a character, they're hiding a Jew in the basement. And in the book, there's a very long journey, like, that Max goes through to get to Liesl's place. And, I mean, he's like, starving in basements in the dark for weeks and weeks at a time before he even gets there. And they kind of just skip that. Like, he's being, I can only take one of you, rescued from his house before the SS gets there. And then he shows up at their door and he's like falling down. And there's like, the movie doesn't give any credence or any explanation of how hard this journey he was just on was. They kind of skip it. And
I guess they tried to show with, like, oh, suddenly he swoons. That was so difficult.
Yeah.
Like, they could have spent five minutes on that.
Yeah.
I kind of figured, like, oh, it's a World War II movie. You kind of know if you've read any books about it. But then again,
They could have done like a tiny montage.
Or makeup, so he didn't show up and look pretty.
So pretty.
That was a little unexpected too.
I will confess I have not finished the book as per normal. I did read the book, I did watch the movie, and I was listening to it on audiobook, which is the reason I think I didn't like the death narration, because the audiobook was kind of, I don't know. It was a teacher who was reading to her class, so it's a little weird.
Yeah, that is a little weird. And there are a lot of visual things in that book that are not going to work in an audiobook format, because there's the way, the process of him writing it, and the death narration is just kind of like at the beginning of each chapter or in the middle of something, it'll be like a quick explanation of this and just like three lines of that point of view, and then it goes back into the story. And there are things where books that Max creates for Liesl, and that's a really neat thing in this book, where he paints over the pages of Mein Kampf to create, because he needs to give her a present, and he writes this book.
Yeah.
And they totally skipped that, the first book in the movie. They just made it all into one thing. But that was fine. It worked. But the pages of that book with the drawings of himself and her as birds and the perception in the book where she was still too shy to talk to him. She was, after they got him cleaned up, she was telling her father, like, Papa, his hair looks like feathers. And Max had overheard it. So when he creates this book for Liesl, in the book itself, they put those drawings. That art was created of those books. And I don't know how that'll come across in an audiobook. Like, there is a picture here. Crudely drawn with a small paintbrush.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do in that medium.
I'm proud I actually read it. Because I had a hard time picking it up, and, you know, I got it from the library, and it's like, I gotta make the time. And doing these book club episodes has been, like part-time gamers, it's like, I have to do my homework so I get to play games. And for our book club, it's like, man, I need to be reading more. I hadn't read anything in so long. And And I was like, but once I picked it up, it grabbed me. The writing style this guy uses. And the library copy I got has an interview in the back of it with him where he talks about the process, which was really cool. And the only thing I haven't read in it is there is, it's the Clay something, the Clay Men, I don't know. There's an excerpt from another of Mark Susak's books in the back of this copy of The Book Thief I got from the library. So I am going to read that and consider picking up another of his books based on... Because, I mean, it could have been a fluke, right?
Yeah. That you have to read more of his stuff.
And especially... You have to read more of his stuff. Yeah. Seeing the interview about how the changes... This interview, he also puts in an afterword pictures of his process. You can see how he outlined it and the initial, what the chapters were named and changes he was making and stuff he shuffled around. And I was super fascinated looking through that and how he, you know, consciously developed certain stylistic parts of it. So I'll see. I might read more of him and report back.
I was going to say, you could put another book on our list.
Yeah, if it's good.
So in the movie, they make a big deal about, like, the first book the book she grabs from the pile is The Invisible Man. Why was that burned? Like, why was that part of the...
And that wasn't the book that it was in the book. In the book, it was The Shoulder Shrugged, which was written with a Jewish protagonist in that book.
Okay. Because it's like, why The Invisible Man? That seems random.
Yeah, I don't know.
So in the book, it's The Shoulder Shrugged. Okay.
Yeah. And it's explained, and they talk about it, like, this was this great book, and, you know, it was easy to see why they burned it, because the protagonist is a Jewish person, and they're painted in a positive light. So... That, yeah, they made it The Invisible Man was really weird.
It was very, like, I'm literally racking my head. I'm like, what? H.G. Wells? No, I know. Why? Why? Very confused.
They picked it for the movie because people know what it is.
Yeah, I but guess. If it doesn't fit the context of being a banned book, then it's pointless. Like,
yeah.
I'm not
arguing with you. I'm saying maybe, I don't know, they probably picked it because it's like, oh, it's obviously something that they wouldn't have wanted, instead of maybe doing some research or finding the actual book or making a prop. Make a prop!
Seriously, well, and yeah, there's a they changed a lot of the books she stole, which, considering the whole thing is, like... Actually,
it's kind of important.
Called The Book Thief.
It's called The Book Thief.
Right.
I saw that in the movie. I'm like, well, crap. Now I can't trust anything. And I even tried to look it up on the Wikipedia, and nobody goes into, like, the differences between the books in the book and the books in the movie. And I'm like, shh, grumpy.
And I'm looking for it. And. Yeah, they could have made a prop, because I'm looking... The Shoulder Shrug isn't an actual book. It was made up. Because that's the other thing I was wondering. I was like, maybe they didn't have the rights to use the title. Maybe whoever made the movie owns The Invisible Man or whatever.
Maybe.
But then there's, like, The Dreaming. Like, all the books in The Book Thieves that are mentioned, I don't know which are real and which are not real. But if you look up The Shoulder Shrug, all the references that come up are, it's from The Book Thief.
Yep.
So there is no reason. They could have just used that.
Make a prop.
Seriously. You could just have a book cover. Or I know people who make books. Like, the book cover.
I don't know.
That was just a really weird thing. And now I'm looking up the list of the books that they wanted burned.
You know?
So So apparently, Invisible Man has been. People have tried to ban
it. Has been on the list. Okay. Because it's like.
Wait, but that's. No, Ralph Ellison's. Why? Not H.G. Wells.
Okay. Version.
So what the. I don't know.
Maybe somebody looked up, like, what books have been banned that are, like, real world, and they saw the Invisible Man, but they were like, oh, it's obviously this Invisible Man.
I just remember it was Invisible Man. It might have been,
No, she says H.G. Wells, because I was like, she says H.G. Wells. That's a weird
that's
thing
what
to
I
do.
Thought.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because the Invisible Man...
weird. The relationship with the mayor's Ellison. Wife changing was weird.
Obviously it wasn't until 1952. Yeah, what was up with her? Because, I don't know, she comes off as sympathetic-ish for the most part in the movie.
Yeah, she is. But the relationship is much more complicated and tumultuous in the book where it... because Liesl is first scared because the mayor's wife saw her steal the book from the fire.
Yeah.
And she's like super paranoid about it. And then it turns out the mayor's wife has this giant library and invites Liesl in. And the description of it in the book of her walking down the shelves and just running her fingers along it in this enamored, like, oh my God, there are so many books. Touched me in such a way because I just have this vivid memory of when my son Connor was little. I remember taking him to the library, and I think he was like 5 because it was at the old library here we used to have that's now a tax office. And I remember him just started running up and down, running his fingers along the books, going, books, 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 like he was so excited. And it's like that girl getting so excited about there being so many books really reminded me of that. But the mayor's wife invites Liesl in and lets her read and while she's picking up and delivering laundry that Liesl's mother does for the mayor's wife. And
I was reminded of Beauty and the Beast, actually.
Yeah.
The big library opening.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But it turns, it takes a weird turn later where, because the mayor's wife also is always, like, quiet and not talking and sitting in the freezing cold all through the winter. She always has the window open. It's always cold, but she's kind of, like, punishing herself over the loss of her son, who went off to war and died, and a lot of the books were his. And when the mayor has to fire Liesl's mom from doing laundry, Liesl just kind of loses her shit on the mayor's wife and starts telling her off and, like, for her self-pity and punishing herself and just calls her out on that and storms off and then ends up going back and sneaking in the window and stealing books again and again. At one point, the mayor's wife, like, leaves a dictionary and thesaurus leaning up against the window. It's like, and cookies on the desk. Like, I see you. You know, I know you're here. And at some point, finally writes her a letter. Like,
yeah.
You know, I hope someday you can come to the door. You called me out, but you were right. And you could just come to the door like a civilized person. And Liesl still doesn't. She still keeps just fucking stealing them. Really weird. But
that childhood petty moment.
Yes, it is. It is so petty. But, like, it's a weird thing to her where, and I find that interestingly described in the book too, where she doesn't feel like she deserves to go and ask and sit and read. But if she steals it, she feels like she earned it somehow.
Okay, so apparently, going back to H.G. Wells, apparently H.G. Wells was considered part of the works of traitors, immigrants, and authors from foreign countries who believe that they can attack and delegate the new Germany. Like, H.G. Wells is listed as well as Raman Roland. So I guess that was right. Okay, fine.
Okay.
That is historically accurate, I suppose.
Okay, fine. We'll let it pass.
It just turned me out of the moment of the movie. I was just very confused by it.
Also, I forget that H.G. Wells is from the 30s. Like, I literally forget that sometimes.
Okay, well then I guess maybe that's even better than using a fictional book.
Yeah.
And having people go look for something that doesn't exist, like I did.
It did kick me out enough because I was like, I don't remember that book being, but I guess that would show the random arbitrariness of the books that they were burning and what they just randomly decided was against their new Germany. Blech.
And, you know, on that note, honestly, it was disturbing to read this that was written in 2015, given the tack of so much since, like, after that, right? Like, since right after that, all the things that people say and have been banning, and, like, even, you know, today, all the stuff that's going on in Louisiana and Florida and the fights we're having. And it's just like, folks, we've seen this before. How do you not see that this is this problem? Like, these cries of racist bullshit and banned books and, oh, you can't trust the media. I mean, it's like playbook.
Yeah.
Playbook. Just wow. And first.
I'm just glad
America first.
I'm just glad,
like,
there are some
people don't recognize dog whistles, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
But I am glad that there is the class of folks that are like, oh, there's a banned book list. Here, let me go look up all of those books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me go look them up and
oh, see absolutely.
Why is it so bad? You know, I must educate myself to see why this banned book is so bad.
Yeah, do they not understand? That's gonna...
It's just encouragement. It's just encouragement. We have...
Except for the parents that are, like, actually teaching them their kids that it is bad. And, like, the...
We have more than one generation now that are petty. And they'll just go read them just to be petty.
It's just, yeah, it's really weird because I'm like, some of those banned books were like books I had to read in school or books that I did, like, I just found in the school library on my own, like The Color Purple. That book that hit something. Like, that was like a shift in my, like, how I perceived stuff. And I'm like, it's banned. Like, why? Why would you ban it? I mean, I get why, but no.
Well, and Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
Because, oh my god, it's got the F word. And, like, the fight I have, I know I've told the story before, because they were trying to remove I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings from my kids' school's curriculum.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
I read that in middle school. Like, I didn't like it that much. Like, it was okay. But I don't see any reason to ban it.
You're going
to
ban The Color Purple but still make us read Lord of the Flies? I hate you. I hated that book so much. It was torture having to read it.
And that's to say, like, some books you'll like, some you won't, and that's kind of always how it is. And
I mean, that's the point.
Yeah.
They're like, try these books. Some of them you'll like, some of them you'll feel like clawing your eyeballs out.
Some of them you'll just find yourself sighing the entire time through The Great Gatsby.
Yes. Oh my god, that also... I mean, I understand why we had to read it, but also, during the entire time we read that book, I was like, really? What? Sir! So, yeah, don't ban books. Don't. Just don't.
Yeah, right? I mean, in some irony, Germany did ban Mein Kampf for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, they gave the copyright to Bavaria, and nobody would print it. But that ended, I think, in 2016. Oh, gosh! Now we know where all those people got their playbook. Oh, sorry.
I will say, on that same note, I don't like that book, but it did give me, when I saw people in my school reading it, like, a big, like, warning sign about them, I'm not gonna lie.
I am actually curious to read it. Apparently, it entered the public domain in 2015, and I am curious. I feel like I would necessarily be disgusted, just the title itself is offensive, knowing...
I just don't...
Like, for someone, for his point of view writing about, oh, my struggle. Like, dude.
I just don't feel like reading The Ramblings of a Narcissist. I don't.
Yeah, I can go on social media when I want to hear white men bitch about how hard their life is.
Uh-huh.
that's all I'm gonna say about that.
It's so hard to understand how that it. I don't know. I don't understand what people find charismatic sometimes at all. Like, how the hell is
no?
It's like mass hysteria. It's mass hysteria.
Yep. So
anyway, rolling back around to the book.
Yeah, anyway, at the end of the book, the one Max does write, another one is kind of like an alternate making... They make fun of Hitler a lot.
They do. I appreciate that. So Max, like, makes her a couple books?
Yes. Said?
That's cool. Yeah, the
thing they
did
where... In the movie where he made her a journal,
mm-hmm.
It was actually he kept a journal and wrote a lot of things for her and about her, like a whole little book, and left it with, when he left it with Rosa, her mother, to give to Liesl when she was old enough. And then a little while down the road, after some more shit goes down, Rosa gives it to her, like, I think you're ready. I think you've always been ready for this. And, like, gives her this other book that Max had left, this journal that Liesl had seen part of, you know, and felt bad for looking and was a little scared by when she was younger because it was Hitler-y stuff. So, yeah, it's really, really good. I mean, yes, it was an absolutely fine movie, like I said. Even my husband loved it. But the book is absolutely worth reading.
Worth picking up. Okay.
I am so glad I read the whole thing. Yeah. Even after watching the movie, I was like, I could have cheated. I heard a description of what a book club is recently, where it's like people get together and drink wine and pretend they read a book. And I know that is super accurate often.
I'm here for the people who don't always get to read the books.
Yes,
no, I'm kidding.
Yes. Very seldom do I get to actually finish it, but boy, this one, it was one of those. I stayed up late and I got up early because I wanted to get back to it. So it's like almost 500 pages, I think, and I got it through in a couple days.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm reading another book right now, so I was juggling. And it was very interesting. I did like the little illustrations, and it actually kind of, strangely enough, the little, like, annotations reminded me of the other book I'm reading, which is it's translated from a Chinese online novel. And there's a lot of idioms in there that they have to kind of, like, make notes for at the bottom to translate of, like, this is this idiom, that normally means this, so I'm not just looking at a random set of words going, what? And it reminded me of that, actually, strangely enough. Because they were like, you know, this is this aside to explain this thing, and then you get back into it, so.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Now I'm thinking of, oh god, what is that? The 9.5-minute hallway. That giant book that I also still haven't finished yet. It's the freaking surrealist book that's written by Poe's brother, and it's gonna come to me as I'm Googling it. I oh, wow. know. 9.5-minute high.
I mean, God, that'd be an interesting title. Just...
It's. I know when I say it, everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, that book!" I just have to find it again. House of Leaves.
I was going to suggest that because that's the only surrealist book that I know of.
Because there's like entirely, there's like three stories within that one book, and one of them is just in the liner notes. And, I'm going to finish it someday because I freaking love that album that is loosely connected with that book that Poe did. So,
yeah, I feel like I got a little momentum in reading now, and maybe I'll actually get back into Will Wheaton's book because except the format, well, actually what I'll probably do is pick that up in Dead Tree version when I'm in Asheville because I know Malaprops carries it because I've got a digital one, but it's the advanced copy they gave me when I did the interview, so it's like a huge pain in the ass to read because it's like it's just the old book, but then you have to like click on every footnote to get his annotation, which takes you to a different section, and then you got to go back, and it's like, it's really annoying to read electronically. I'm not having it.
That's fair.
But maybe I'll get back into Obama's book in the meantime, because I put that down probably 2 years ago when my friend Ken released some white guy's book, and I never got back to it. Half finished.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of my little end table just covered in them. Yeah. I used to be so much better about getting books done.
Me
and that's
too.
Why we have book club.
That's why we have book club.
Because at least one of the three of us will read it.
Alrighty. Well, if any of you want to tell us if you have read the Book Thief or books that you would suggest for us to read, you can always chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. We're getting through our list, so you know, we need more suggestions. So drop us a line. Tell us books to read. We'll read them eventually, once the die has decided it's time for them to be read.
The power of the die.
We'll roll the dice for the next book at the end of this. So what are y'all most anticipating right now? What are you, Amber?
Well, heading to Raleigh tomorrow, like I said. More wedding stuff. Making the lasagna and super hyped for TMS Asheville. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I wish you guys could be there. If you can get there, I can get you a room. I'm going to say that. We can figure that out because we ended up with some extra spots and I paid a bunch extra to bring the price down for everybody. So fuck it. I've got some friends coming now too, which is like this guy I've gone on a few dates with and he's bringing someone and my girlfriend Tony's coming and like, it's going to be like half Tadpool from all over the country and half a bunch of my friends. All right. But Scott Johnson's going to be joining us for a live stream, and I got all this cool swag to give away. And for some reason, Coverville sent me a big picture of his face that he just, like, put on the swag. So when I opened up the box, it was this goofy face that is also one of their emotes. But I'm going to put it on a stick. Because he can't make it to the live stream, so he's going to make it whether he likes it or not.
But, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. That's September 9th and 10th, and anybody who wants to message me can find me easily, and maybe I can get you in. We have a few more days to get that sorted.
What about you, Ray?
I am signed up to give blood tomorrow. The double thing, so they can't bother me for 3 months. if you're O negative or O positive, it's basically a way for you to give like double the plasma, and you get to keep your platelets and everything. So one day I'll try and be brave and do platelet donation, but I read that like one of the requirements is you cannot have been exposed to tuberculosis, which if that is one of them, I'm out, because I did that and had to do that whole like 8 months, and then they're like, oh, they gave you the wrong medication, here's the other medication for another 6 months, and do not recommend. Take your medicine, it's free, most of the states will make sure that you get that medicine for free, because it is a pain in the butt and nobody wants anyone spreading tuberculosis. But I need to get brave and like talk to them about that, because hopefully maybe I'll be able to do a hike or skating or something over the long weekend. And then that same Saturday we're having a crafting day, which my crafting will either be trying to figure out how to make knots in yarn or trying to make knots in thread. Crochet or embroidery, one of those two knotting things.
Knots will happen. It'll be very naughty.
It'll be very naughty, and it's fine because I'll be mostly my right arm, and my left arm is the one that they always poke for veins, so it'll be good.
It's fine. It's just one arm that's going to be in pain.
It's fine. Honestly, it doesn't really hurt me that much. Like, what gets me the most is I have to have a drink with me, because otherwise I'll start to pass out. So I always have to have it. Like, I have to be like, I have to keep drinking, please. And they're usually okay if you give them the heads up. Like, they don't want you passing out either, so.
Yeah, no.
Right.
You're like, pardon me.
Eat a big meal. I always drink a crap ton of water, and I have to drink water the entire time. Otherwise, yeah. But that's me. How about you, Linda?
Don't pass out.
Let me see. Machine lets you know if you're about to. It starts beeping as you're starting to get the blackness.
Yeah, that's true.
From experience.
Great. I'm also looking forward to the crafty day. Obviously, I'm going to be making stuff for the next market day, which is in not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Mm-hmm. And just making more of the crochet stuff. Look, as we were talking, I got half a ladybug done. Granted, it was... No, it was also almost done. Was it fibbing? I was working on it, but I didn't start it during this. I'm quite thoroughly finishing it. I'm also kind of hoping it'll be nice and quiet at work next week, because we have the day off on Monday, and most of the doctors want to take like an entire week off when there's a big holiday. So a lot of the doctor's offices are closed.
I will say that my job, it always get like as soon as Wednesday hit, it was like half the volume. Mm-hmm. So like I got a ton of stuff caught up. So I'm hoping that carries over at least until maybe next Wednesday, and then things can explode with,
yeah.
What do you mean so-and-so didn't do this right?
Well, we have either when holidays like this come up, we either have the thing where nobody wants to go to the doctor because they all want to go on vacation, or everybody wants to go to the doctor because then they want to go on vacation. So we have had, in this same Labor Day span of time, we've had both nothing, like, very low numbers, and also record high numbers. So at the beginning of this past week, I didn't know if I was going to be dead or fine.
That's fair.
But it turned out okay. So cool. There's that.
Well, remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills. on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on September 12th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll post our schedule with our topics for next month after our production meeting on the 5th.
And remember, in addition to subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by you, our amazing patrons. You're the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
Way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page once we get it filled out. And if you're a patron, you can always suggest a topic for us. We will do it. And we'd love to hear your ideas.
Please.
Please. So where can we find you on the interwebs? Amber?
Best thing to do is go to 9of12.com. That's NINEOF12.com.
You can find me on Instagram under DappledDame.
And you can find me on Instagram under the name madcap_misc, that's MISC, and you can check out my website at madcapm.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game!
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.